Joyce is going to come and give us our first reading. We're going to do our reading in three parts and our sermon in three parts today.
The reading is taken from James, and you'll find it on page 1215 of the Church Bible. And it's starting at verse 13 and ending at verse 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Here endeth the lesson.
Thank you, Joyce. The book of James is full of wise advice for living the Christian life. And in today's reading, he's showing us how living well is all tied up with our thoughts and our attitudes and the things that are inside us. If we want to live a good life, he's telling us that we need to get our thoughts straight and we need to act wise. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. In other words, the things that we do come from what's inside us. And he says that there's wisdom, and there's the opposite of wisdom, which is bitter envy and selfish ambition and those sorts of attitudes. And if that's what we're like inside, if we are full of envy and ambition, then that's what's going to come out in the things we do. James says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. It's this way or that way, is what he seems to be saying. There's an interesting thing that he did say in verse 14. I don't know if you saw it. If you harbour envy and selfish ambition, don't boast about it or deny the truth. There are two things he wants us not to do here. First of all, we mustn't think that being self-centered is good for us, that it makes us strong, that it gives us rights, that it makes our life better, because that's not right. But he also says not to deny the truth. We mustn't pretend not to be selfish if we know we really are, as if it doesn't matter. Because God knows what's going on right inside us. He knows, whether we admit it or not, what we're actually like inside. And so it's better, James says, to admit that to ourselves and to other people. What God wants to see is for us to be the other things he mentioned in the reading: pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, full of good fruit, impartial, sincere. If we're like that, we'll begin to care more about other people than about ourselves. We'll begin to treat them more fairly. We'll want to make things right when we have disagreements with others. And if we love those qualities, being pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, merciful, impartial, sincere, then they will start to come out and to bear fruit in the way we live. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be like. I'm not always, but that's what I want. And how are we doing at recognizing what's going on inside us? And whether actually it's coming from wisdom or from selfishness.
To help us think about that, we've got a game.
Welcome to Wise Up, the fast action wisdom or folly game. Presented by Richard and Elizabeth.
In this game, there is only one team, the whole congregation. And this is how it works. We will outline a scenario where there is some sort of moral dilemma. And you get to decide together whether what you've heard is godly wisdom or selfish ambition. You can talk amongst yourselves.
Oh.
It's you, Richard.
It's me. Is that all clear? Do you know what you're doing? We're going to be thinking of talking through a few problems and thinking about whether what we just heard from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, what it says about it. So, if you're all ready, we're going to go for round one. Someone at church has said something that upset you. That wouldn't happen, would it? You immediately tell your church friends all about it and how much you now dislike them. The person you're upset with doesn't understand what they did wrong or why other people aren't talking to them anymore. Go and have a confer. Was that godly wisdom? Was that selfish ambition?
Talk amongst yourselves.
I heard a call out of selfish ambition over there.
Hands up if you think it's selfish ambition. Anybody think it's godly wisdom?
Shall we move on to round two? You're at school, and they're looking for people to be school eco-champions. And you would get a badge to put on your uniform, and you would like that. But your friend actually is much more passionate about the environment than you are, so you encourage them to apply for the role instead of you.
Is it godly wisdom or selfish ambition? Are you thinking about what God wants, or are you just thinking about what you want? Anyone want to stick their neck above the parapet and call out an answer? Godly wisdom. Anyone agree? Hands up. Some people are awake today. Lovely. Godly wisdom. Thank you, Richard.
Question three, round three. At work, your team did a really, really good job with a new product, and the bosses are very, very happy with the sales. And you're the team leader, so you get invited to a work event, there's that phrase again, to celebrate. But actually, there was a junior member of your team who had the idea in the first place, and they've been left out. But you're kind of hoping to get promoted. So you go to the event, and you don't stress too much about the junior who got forgotten.
Godly wisdom or selfish ambition? Okay, well, let's move on. We've got that one coming.
And the last question. You were planning to go to the cinema with your friends to watch a new release, but then you heard that your aunt is sad because her cat died last week. So at the last minute, you decide to go and see her instead. You can always go to the cinema with your friends next week instead.
Godly ambition or self... No. Godly wisdom or selfish ambition? Thank you. Right. That's all for this episode of Wise Up. But keep practicing and keep thinking. Each time you make a decision, am I showing godly wisdom or selfish ambition? Now, for the second part of the day's reading, thank you, Graham. Please leave our sign.
Okay, so I hope you still have your Bibles open on page 1215, and I'm reading chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? James asks. It's worth thinking about, because those fights and quarrels between us are things that other people see and that affect how they think about us and about God. And the thing is, how we behave, and especially if we are fighting and quarreling with others, it's actually a reflection of a different battle that's going on inside us. James says that sometimes we want things and actually we'll be willing to do whatever it's going to take to get them. There's this battle inside us. There's a battle to be in charge. Are we going to be wise or selfish? Is it God or us who's in charge? Oftentimes we can forget about prayer and about seeking God's will and just launch straight into what we think is needed because we want those things. And I should just say something about verse 3, which says that wrong motives can be a reason why we don't receive things that we'd prayed about. I don't believe that's the only reason why prayer can go unanswered. This verse certainly isn't the only thing that the Bible says about unanswered prayer. But sometimes, James says, it is just because we asked with the wrong motives. It was all about us and what we wanted. Sometimes. But the question in this part of our reading is, who is the boss? Is it God or is it our Creator? Is it us or is it God our Creator? We need to wrestle with that question. But we also have God's help. Look at verse 5. It's a bit of a complicated sentence. Do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he calls to live in us envies intensely? Or a more modern translation says, do you think the Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he's caused to dwell in us? Of course there is a reason. God wants his Holy Spirit to be at work in us. God wants to change our hearts. He wants to help us see the truth. He wants us to understand how to act wisely. He wants to change us from inside. He wants our attitudes to be molded and reshaped. That's what James has been arguing throughout this whole reading that we're having today. And that's why God sends his Holy Spirit to live inside every believer. He's here to help us in that fight.
So we come to our third reading. We're still on our same page, 1215. And we're James chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbour? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ellie. So what does this look like in practice? In that last section of the reading, James encourages us to do several things. He asks us to submit to God, to listen to him, and do what he says. And that's something that goes very, very much against our culture today. We're used to thinking more, why would I yield to anyone else, never mind to God? These days we're used to praising people who are true to themselves. James says that we are truest to who we're meant to be when we're not in sole charge of ourselves, but listening to and obeying God. James wants us to resist evil, to actively turn our back on it. He tells us to come close to God and to seek his forgiveness, knowing that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God loves to forgive. He loves to give us a new start. James encourages us to lament and to be sad, frankly, for the times when we've got things wrong. It's okay to regret those things. More than that, it's good to regret them. Not because being sad is of value in itself, but because it helps us instead to be more realistic about ourselves and then, in consequence, more dependent on God. And that's the thing that he wants to see in our lives. Those very last verses in the reading remind us that it's actually very, very easy to kid ourselves and to start rewriting the rules mentally. Do you ever do that? Do you ever find yourselves of bending the rules in your head so that we sort of renegotiate things so that we're in the right and those other people over there are in the wrong? Yeah? Can we move the barrier just far enough so that they're bad and I'm okay? James doesn't want us to do that, because actually he says, when you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but you're sitting in judgment on it. And actually, we're not God. We don't get to write the law. He does. And he is good and kind and forgiving. James wants us to humble ourselves and to submit to God. And as we humble ourselves, that's when we'll be able to receive from him. Step one, James says, is to be realistic about ourselves with his help. Then he can open our eyes to who we are and to the forgiveness he wants to give us. Then he can start to change us.